a sewer line, extending it in First East through the cul-de-sac and then up the driveway. When we get to the, and that will service all five lots. When we get to the bulb of the driveway turnaround is where we propose to just connect into the Angford's existing lateral.
So would that existing lateral, it would remain in lot six?
Remain in lot or five. There's plenty of building area to the east.
But then when it cuts across lot one, would that be modified to come down the driveway?
Well, what I'm saying is as soon as it hits the cul-de-sac, then it goes in our sewer line that goes down the driveway.
Okay, so.
So everything else is removed, yeah, and abandoned.
So there'd be an easement on lot five for that.
And the piece on lot five, you don't plan on moving it, just using the current one, just tapping into it.
Yeah. Not to say that it couldn't be moved, but don't really see the need to do that, especially where the proposed building location would be. Just one other utility highlight. There's a pressurized irrigation line 100 East. There's also one that goes on the back of some of the property owners just to the north, like Kathy Philpott. We will then construct a pipeline that connects those two. It's my understanding that's what the Midway Irrigation Company wants.
I haven't heard from them on this at all.
You haven't? I have some brief discussions with them. But anyway, this will loop their system. Hopefully he'll weigh in with you and probably give me more changes, but yeah. And then last of all, we've tried to keep the existing ditch open as much as we can, although we will install a culvert for it through the cul-de-sac. Some trees will be torn down as part of the putting in the city cul-de-sac. You know, it's got to be a certain radius and width, and so there's not a whole lot we can do. Mm-hmm. Any questions for me? Okay, Chairman, if you just give me a few minutes at the end if there's any public comments that we need to respond to.
Okay. So we'll go ahead and open it up to, you know, public comments, even though it's not scheduled for a public hearing. And so if the attorney representing one of the residents would like to step up and state your name and I guess who you're representing, their address, I guess.
Hello. Good evening. My name is TJ Stevens. I'm an attorney at Hogan Lee Hutchinson. I'm here on behalf of Doug and Robin Ingfer. They're at 140 East, 250 North,
okay,
which is the lot just
being highlighted. Yeah, okay.
They're not opposed to the subdivision, they have some questions that they'd like to have answered. Some of them already were answered tonight. But one of the questions that I couldn't gather from the application is, will this remain zoned R115? And I know R115 typically requires, at least my understanding, is a 1 acre lot. Lot 5, which Ingfer's are interested in actually purchasing, since it's adjacent to their lot, is 0.72 acres, I believe.
So R115 is not a 1 acre zone. That's our R143. Is it a quarter acre?
So this is a third acre. 15,000 square feet minimum.
That's what the 50 is.
So these all meet that requirement.
Okay, and so it will remain an R115 after it's subdivided?
That's correct, just deed restricted, so it couldn't be further subdivided down to those smaller lots.
Okay. In reviewing the application on page 3, there was one concern under deed restriction. It says the density of the 5.2 acres will never be more than 3 dwellings, 1 per lot.
Yeah, you found my one mistake.
Okay, well, that's impressive, just one.
I'm joking, there's more. So, yeah, it's what that's stating is the density will only be 5 lots on the 5.2 acres maximum, so 5 dwelling units maximum.
Okay, thank you. My client had a question about Midway Irrigation water shares and how this DRS would affect those.
So that's really where the water board comes into play. What we'll do is we have the map. We'll calculate using the formulas in the code the amount of water rights required. And most time water rights are fulfilled with water
For the culinary perspective, for the culinary use or for the total?
Yeah, just for culinary, yeah. We're looking at 3.2 acre feet because they have credit for one already. And then we just need to calculate out all of the irrigated area. We subtract, for these size of lots, we'll go through and subtract 8,000 square feet of impervious surface per lot. And so what's left over per lot will give us how much outside irrigation we need. So it's actually a fairly simple calculation. The one thing that we will subtract also is the impervious surface of the roads and the driveway.
Michael and Chairman, but I'm reading into your question a little bit, but I've heard this question before. I think the real answer is the water board will make a determination, the city council will approve it or verify it, and then Mr. Malinka will give the water shares that are needed to the city so that your client who's going to buy a lot won't be at any risk because the water's already been turned into the city.
That's correct. We won't allow the plat to be recorded without dedication of the water rights for all the required water in the subdivision.
Okay.
And so for lot number 5, which is the one that the anchors are interested in, that would include a culinary connection plus the outside irrigation for the entire lot.
Okay. I did have a question about the pressurized irrigation lines. My understanding is that the pressurized irrigation line supporting my client's current property runs through the DRS. And I'm not sure if that's on the map or if that will require an easement. Just for by way of background, my client's property up to the north used to be owned by the same person that owned that whole square there.
Yeah, so this whole square was owned by the Hansons. They owned the house. Well, actually, even before that, it was the Wagners, I think, that owned that. But they owned this entire piece, so it was all kind of one property until part of it was sold to the Linkas, is what happened.
So with regards to any pressurized irrigation lines that support my client's current property, would those be reflected on the subdivision map as an easement, or is that something that would go through the Midway irrigation?
So yeah, the Midway, the advisory board will, it's made up of city representatives and Midway Irrigation Company representatives, so we'll take a look at culinary issues plus outside irrigation issues. So if there is a ditch or a water line included on the property, we'll make sure that that easement's on the plat, and so there's not any issue with them receiving their water. And so that's one thing we need to find out is if there's any ditches or water lines that need to be included. But Midway Irrigation Company is included in this process. They actually signed the plat before it's recorded, too.
Okay. But they didn't point out your client's irrigation line, but we'll work with you on where it's at. Or that's why it's not shown on our map, but others are. We got information from them.
Okay. A couple more questions. What are the developer's obligations, if any, with regards to removal or replacement of mature trees that are on the that are currently there, if they need to be removed for development?
Yeah, so currently the code has no requirements for the trees, so if the property owner does want to remove trees, that they can. They can't even before the subdivision. They can remove them tomorrow, to be honest, if they wanted to. There's not a requirement to go through any type of process with the city or to replant trees, but they can remove if they want them to. What the applicant has relayed to me is they want to try to keep as many as they can, but there are a few that's going to have to be removed.
The last question is, there's currently a fence that's been in place for some time, and after the survey was done, the fence on my client's current property runs across the top of lot 5, and you can see it depicted there. If my clients are able to purchase lot 5, I don't anticipate it would be an issue, but is there anything in the application with regards to the city where we need to come to some sort of agreement with the Malinkas with regards to that fence, or is that something that we would just work out directly with?
Yeah, kind of a fence line issue for prescriptive rights to property is not something that we would deal with. We'd have to go through the legal system to determine that property line. If there are survey issues, our county surveyor
You're welcome. Paul? Sure.
So I spoke with the surveyor of why the line is where it is. They also completed some survey work for the Van Wagners when they still owned the property. And as they worked with the Van Wagners, they explained the history of the fence, but where they thought their deed was, which is where this line is. And there's been property monuments that show it there and not on the fence line, you know, going back to the Van Wagners. And so between the monuments, the deed, and previous surveys is why our surveyor recommended that it stay there and that it wasn't the fence and that, you know, Van Wagners didn't recognize the fence.
Okay.
That's the history behind it. That's not a legal opinion. That's just surveyors and engineers speaking.
Okay. Sure.
My name is Peter Malika. I'm the applicant. I think you all know where I live now. But when we bought the property from the Hansons, they asked us, you know, where do we want to divide our land, the house from the field? And so this was the agreement based off of that when we bought it in 2018, I believe. Part of that agreement says that we need to move the fence line. We need to move the fence to match
the survey
line. And that was something that we were working on doing. We were going to do that in 2020, and then COVID hit, and with everything kind of being crazy, we said, okay, let's hold off on that. And now with this happening, that's the status of it. I think it's more just results. Thanks.
Thank you. Are there any other members of the public that want to make a comment or ask questions?
I am Kathy Philpott. I live at 94 East 250 North. I own those two pieces right there, so they're all about against lot one.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, let me say that I am not opposed to this development. Of course, I'd rather have nothing better than could be. So I have two pretty minor questions. One is that the back or the side for the setbacks along that fence line? I'm hoping it's the back.
Yeah, we would, since the front door on the existing home is located right here off the proposed cul-de-sac, that would be the rear setback.
Okay.
So that's 30 feet.
Okay, that's good. The other thing is my secondary water, I think it's on there, goes up and then runs. It also runs across the back of the Meeks property and then R2, and then we have, I don't know what they're called, those things that stick up that you hook those.
Right, yeah, the risers.
That water our pastures there. So I'm worried that during construction, that will be, that connection will be broken, and I won't be able to water. And so I would like to request that connection stay as much as possible, or only be down for a few days at a time, and that I know when that's going to happen, so I can water when it will be.
Is there much construction that's going to be happening along the backside of that lot anyway?
I assume that it will.